We'll begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the rain report for the week of April 9th, 2004. Partly personal, happy B-Day to Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, who shares his 53rd this year with the Easter Bunny. From This Week in Amateur Radio, I'm George Bowen, W2XBS. The Wall Street Journal published an article with a decidedly negative slant toward amateur radio in its March 23rd edition. CQ Magazine editor Rich Moseson, W2VU, took great exception to Ken Brown's piece. A major point of contention was Brown's pro-position on BPL, broadband over power line technology. In his written response to Brown's feature story, Moseson contends BPL will cause interference to more than just the U.S. amateur radio service.
Anybody else who uses spectrum between 2 megahertz and 80 megahertz is at risk. It includes military, emergency management people, long-distance airline pilots, CB, radio-controlled airplanes and boats that operate at 27 or 49 megahertz or 72 megahertz. 49 and 72 are the main radio control bands, and they're smack in the middle of this. Some cordless phones and baby monitors that are on 49 megahertz. Some police and fire departments are still on low VHF. They would be affected by this. The thing is, and this hasn't been examined anywhere, these are basically going to be QRP radio signals that are transmitted. And we know from experience that you don't need a lot of power when conditions are right to transmit a signal of very great distance. And if you start transmitting all these signals on the short wave bands, hundreds and thousands of miles, there's going to be no way of telling where they came from, and it's going to be very hard to get them to stop. And it's just going to either disrupt communications in progress on specific frequencies or just raise the noise floor overall so that a weak signal, which perhaps will be a distress signal from a boater in the middle of the ocean, just won't be able to be heard anymore. And these are the things that they're not looking at and that they're not really paying attention to, either in the BPO industry or in the media that's covering it. We have to bring this to people's attention. He also quotes the FCC's chief engineer, Ed Thomas, in regard to BPL, saying, why is this thing a major calamity? But there's no effort made to find an answer. I provided one for him about the cumulative effect of low-power radio signals being transmitted across the spectrum. I finished off saying perhaps a better question to be asking than why is this thing a major calamity is why is BPL so important to the FCC? It's very interesting to note that several FCC staff people have pointed out in various references that it is against FCC policy to promote any one particular technology. But the FCC has been the biggest cheerleader for BPL from the chairman on down in recent months, and they're clearly promoting this technology. Why is it so important to the FCC? It could be very interesting to look at. It's obviously something that's important to the president in an election year also. He made a speech where he talked about getting broadband access to every home in America by 2007. He didn't specify a technology, but obviously this would be one way of doing it.
There are various agencies in the government, even military, and to a lesser degree, FEMA, who have great concerns about BPL, and yet the FCC seems to be bent on getting BPL on the map. Of course, it is a billion-dollar industry. Those who are cynical, and there are a number of us who are these days, can say, well, gee, money talks.
It would be interesting, as they said in the past, to follow the money, see where it goes, see where it comes from. That said, not clear to a lot of people that BPL will be an economic blockbuster. There's a lot of expense involved with providing the service along the power lines because they don't go along the power lines except for the last several thousand feet. They have to be delivered to those access points in usually by fiber optics or something like that, which is the same expense to set up as it is for cable or DSL broadband. If you're out in a rural part of the country where you've got only two or three people in a stretch of several miles, it's not going to be worth the cost of the investment by the utility to provide them with that service. This is a whole other aspect, is that this talking about BPL providing broadband internet to everybody in the country and to all of rural America is a smokescreen. it's hype, because it's just not going to happen. It's not going to be worth the cost of investing in the infrastructure to serve two or three people in an area, to possibly serve two or three people in an area, because, of course, there's no guarantee that they're going to want the service. And in more populated areas where there is the chance of having a greater customer base to make the investment pay off, you'll generally already have a phone company providing DSL service and a cable company providing cable modem service. So they'd have to get in there and compete with two established forces in the field, and they'd either have to come up with a significantly better product or a significantly lower price. I don't think you could come up with a significantly better product because the internet is the internet. So you're going to be competing on price, in which case you're going to have to undercut the cable and the DSL people significantly. I have cable internet service right now, and they would have to cut that price in half, practically, to make it worth my while to change everything that I have. And I'm sure that's the way that a lot of people are going to feel. Going to have to save a lot of money. Well, if they cut the price in half, you're going to be doubling the number of people you need in order to make it pay off. It's just not at all clear to me and to a lot of people that I've talked to that the economics of this thing are going to work out for anybody except the people who build and sell the BPL systems to the utilities.
I'm speaking with Rich Moseson, WTVU, the editor of CQ Magazine, and we're talking about the Wall Street Journal feature article regarding amateur radio. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for Rain audio.
One of the things that's interesting about this is that they tend to operate, at least the system down in North Carolina that Gary Pierce, KN4AQ, got to be closely connected with monitoring when they did a test. This operates in, I believe it's 6 megahertz blocks of spectrum. You have two problems. You have the interference to the hams and to other spectrum users. You also have interference back from radio users to that system. Remember, the power lines are an antenna. Well, antennas work in two directions. Let's say the BPL is operating on 10 meters, and you transmit a 100-watt signal on 10 meters, it's going to have an effect. If you happen to be right under one of their distribution points, it's going to knock it out. Their systems are designed to be very flexible and to adapt to that. One of the tests that Gary did was he transmitted, I don't think it was with 100 watts, it was with like 10 watts, took out the test signal, who's there with an engineer from the power company and from the BPL company. And then he tried again a minute later, and there was no change. The system had adapted to notch out that frequency where there was a strong signal interfering. Well, the problem is we don't always stay on the same frequency. I was operating in the CQWPX contest. I don't have a big gun station, so I do search and pounce. And I move my way up the band, looking for stations to talk to. So I can do one transmission here, and then the system will compensate to get rid of that, but then my next transmission is going to be 20 kilohertz up the band. Oops. And then the next one's going to be 15 kilohertz up the band. And then I'm going to switch to another band. This is normal ham operation, but their systems are not set up to deal with that kind of thing. They're also not set up to deal with our frequency agility from the perspective of interference to us. If, let's say, I complain that they're interfering with me on 10 meters, and they move to another block of frequencies that happens to cover 20 meters, well, they've taken care of the problem, except that when I get on 20 meters, I call them and complain, you're interfering with me again. But we took care of that last week, and they don't understand how we operate, and it's going to be very difficult education. And it's also going to be very difficult to find blocks of spectrum that don't include a ham band. Gary KN4AQ worked out a chart with the different blocks of spectrum that are available. He found only, I believe, three chunks of spectrum on HF where you go more than 6 megahertz without bumping into a ham band. The typical range at which signals are being heard is about a half mile in each direction from the source, and they change frequency blocks every 2,000 feet or so. So within a 1 square mile area, you have a large number of these frequency blocks in use. So there's always going to be some signal within a half mile of you if you're in an area that's being served by BPL that will be on virtually any HF ham band that you're on. The thing is, there really haven't been enough tests involving hams to know what you should be listening for. Nobody knows about the skywave characteristics of these signals. You could be listening to 20 meters and hearing a noise that you're not familiar with, and it could be anything. We hear all sorts of noises all the time on HF. And one of the things we're going to be doing is putting up some sample audio on our website for people to listen to get an idea of what they should be listening for. The power company is saying, well, we haven't had any complaints from hams. Well, the hams may not realize what they're hearing. So we want to try to educate people as to what the BPL signals sound like so that if they do hear them, they can try to do something about them.
I've been speaking today with Rich Moseson, W2VU, editor of CQ Magazine since 1999. And we've been talking about the Wall Street Journal feature article that came out in late March of 2004 and the very pressing issue of amateur radio's interference from and potentially to BPL, broadband over power line technology, being promoted very strongly by the Federal Communications Commission. This has been the Rain Report. I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP in Chicago.
If you were looking for some rational arguments to include in your comments to the FCC opposing broadband over power line technology, or BPL, now you have them. Be advised, the commentary cutoff date for filing is May 3rd. Reply comments are due by June 1st. Now, an editorial note. Perhaps the most salient issue brought up by Rich Moseson has nothing to do with BPL itself. Why is the FCC so hell-bent on implementing broadband over power line technology? Seems that at the very least, there is a serious conflict of interest here. The government agency that is responsible for policing communications and related technologies has no business acting as cheerleader for the industry it is supposed to regulate. This, in the face of considerable opposition by other federal and state agencies responsible for public safety. It does make one wonder, and begin to suspect the worst. A note to your senator or congressman requesting an investigation of the FCC would be in order. The Rain Report is copyright 2004. Rain, all rights reserved. From This Week in Amateur Radio, I'm George Bowen, W2XBS.